How many of you guys have seen those TV shows where a man or a woman or a family will go and buy a house for a lower amount than maybe the house is worth, and they go in and rip everything out, fix it up? They call it flipping, and then they sell it again for a profit. Have you guys seen those shows on TV? There are several of them. I mean, they're all over. My wife loves them. What usually happens is they go in, they buy the house, they make this offer, they get this great deal on a house, and then they go in and realize why they got the great deal. There's usually mold, or it needs updating, electrical updating, or, I mean, there's all kinds of things wrong with the house. And so they set their budget. 9 times out of 10, they go over budget. They get behind schedule. They encounter problems that they didn't think they'd face. And then most of the time, by the end, they still end up turning a profit on the house. And usually, it closes with some kind of cliche line by one of the people that bought the house and saying, "The profit we made on this house will be a great down payment for our next flip." You know, just making you think that this is just the life to live and people want to flip houses for a living. Well, last week we started a series on spring cleaning, and we looked at Ephesians 5, 17 through 22, and the importance of cleaning out the old junk in our lives. The junk drawers, the closets, under the beds, just getting rid of all the old stuff so that we can have room for the newness of life that God wants to give us through a relationship with Him. Today we're going to go a little bit farther in Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, and see that God invites us into our own personal house flipping project. You see, God came in and He purchased us, just like the flippers purchase a house, but He purchased us with His blood. And He wants inside of our lives. He doesn't just want us to give Him lip service. He doesn't just want us to wear Christian t-shirts or carry our Bibles or come to church and sing songs. He wants to start from the inside and work His way out, just like you would if you were renovating a house. He wants to come in and strip it. Nothing left, so that He can put in the things that He knows are best for us. Now, last week I got a few comments after the sermon, and people said, you know, that was a great sermon, really good salvation message, and it was. But I don't want you to think that that's all it was, because it's not just about those that don't know the Lord yet. It's about those of us that have known Him for a long time as well. Philippians 2:12 says that we need to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Just because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't mean we're where we need to be. And those of us that have been Christians for a really long time still seem to find ways to cram some of that old junk from the old life into the nooks and crannies of our life. Maybe it's the old anger that you carried with you from a grudge. Maybe it's a habit or an addiction. Maybe it's dislike that you have for a person. Maybe it's something that I'm not even thinking of right now. The problem is that we think that just by giving God lip service and by saying, "I'm a Christian," that we're done. But that's just the starting line. God wants to come in and He wants to clean house. He wants to strip the house down to the studs and build it back up the way it was meant to be. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Ephesians 4:22-24. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So right there, right at the beginning, God lays the blueprint out on the table. Not like these shows where we have to wait till the very end, and right before you think they're going to show you the final product, they go to commercial, and you have to wait to see what the house looks like. God says right up front, this is what it's going to look like. If you let me in, if you let me have the junk that you've been stuffing in the nooks and crannies, in the junk drawer, under the bed, in the closet, if you let me have that stuff, this is what your life will look like when I'm done. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The end result. This was the plan from the very beginning. From the moment God sent His Son Jesus to this earth, this was the goal. That we would be like God in righteousness and holiness. It's very important to not just stop at be like God. He doesn't say that we'll be like God in power or majesty. He doesn't say that we're going to be like God in all knowledge. Instead, in true righteousness and in holiness. This is the essence of the fulfillment of God's commands for us. In Matthew Henry's commentary, he talks about these two attributes, and this is what he has to say. Righteousness concerns itself with the last five of the great commandments, the second tablet. Holiness concerns itself with the first five of the great commandments, the first tablet. Righteousness deals with men, while holiness deals with God. In other words, if we let God do this work within us, we will be pleasing to Him, perfectly dealing with both our fellow men and with God. Again, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have to put off the old self. Get rid of the old man or the old woman that we used to be before we knew Jesus. Not just to offer lip service, but to truly allow Him to come into our lives, to invade our space. Invite Him in and allow Him to transform us. He wants to get rid of the junk that we hold on to. The words put off here actually mean to take off clothes. And last week we talked about the example of Lazarus being resurrected by Jesus and how it said, take off the grave clothes. A concerned church member once asked Pastor Rick Warren if he would go to hell for smoking. And Rick Warren says, no, but you'll smell like you've been there. Yesterday, I told you I went on a run. I was training for this fundraiser I have coming up, and I thought, you know what? Today's a good day to run a half marathon. So I left my front porch, and I ran 13.1 miles, which is almost exactly down to the 190th Street corner. I just had to go a little bit further. But so then I got home, and I was really sweaty, and I was stinky, and I was tired. And so I took a shower, put on clean clothes, and then me and my family and Siler had a friend over. We all went to eat at Pizza Ranch. But what if I'd skipped the shower? What if I said, you know what, I'm ready. Let's just go right now. And I mean, I was drenched. I'm pretty sure that the good people of Pizza Ranch might have encouraged me to take my order to go had I shown up smelling the way that I smelled. It sounds silly. It sounds like something that, you know, that most of us would probably never do, especially if we were going out with our family. Now I've gone places before in running clothes just to run errands, but I've never gone out to dinner with my family like that. And it sounds silly to do so. But this is the way we live as Christians. We walk around in our grave clothes. We take our old junk and we cram it into, you know, our pockets and our, you know, wherever, and we're walking around in this stinky old grave clothes. And we think nobody's going to notice. But we're called to be like God in righteousness and holiness. We don't need to live the old way anymore. We shouldn't live that way. In Colossians 3, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. He says, put it to death. Take it off. Get rid of it. God wants to come in and renovate our lives. He bought us with His blood. So by all earthly rights, He has ownership. And yet He allows us to remain the managers of His property. But He wants to come in and He wants to renovate. He wants to give us brand new life. You know, after I started writing this sermon and putting things together, I thought, I used the wrong show as the analogy. Because there's another show, and I don't remember the name of it. You guys will probably know. It's got that guy, Ty, where he fixes up people's houses for him. Extreme Makeover. What happens in Extreme Makeovers when the house is beyond repair? He knocks the whole thing down, and the family comes back, and there's a brand new house where the old one used to stand. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to knock it flat. And so when the people yell, "Move that bus," and it moves, there's a brand new us standing there in the image of God. The cool thing is that we don't have to enter into this process. We don't have to do the cleaning and the renovating all by ourselves, because we have the Holy Spirit, who is our own personal interior designer. He's the one that comes in and he says, "Hey, Manny, you know that little white lie that you told the other day? There's really not room in my blueprint for that. Why don't we take that out? Why don't we take this thing out that's been, you know, keeping your anger at a level that maybe isn't cool with where I created you to be? Maybe we need to take this thing out that's distracting you from your relationship with me and your relationship with other people." The Holy Spirit is the one that nudges those things in us. And again, we're the ones that God gives control to, which is crazy. But he lets us have it because that's true love. And we get to decide what little nudges we listen to and which ones we don't. But it's by his power that we can do it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption the world has caused by evil desires. Jesus isn't letting us enter into this process alone. He's not giving us the limited budget that these house flippers have to work with. He's not giving us a limited timetable that these house flippers have to work with. He's not asking us to be transformed within a 30-minute episode. We have the entire span of our life. We have unlimited resources through Jesus, through God, through the Holy Spirit. So when the Apostle Paul tells us to get rid of the old junk, it is possible. Because it's not in our power that it's happening, it's in his. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The Message paraphrase says it like this: "Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it." God wants all of it. He doesn't want us to say, "God, you can have everything in my life except for the stuff in this junk drawer. I'm going to need that later." He wants it all. He wants it all. And sometimes it's hard for us on this side to see how much better life can be. And we think, "Man, I don't know if I could be happy without these two or three things." That's where faith comes in. That's where trust in the Lord comes in. He promises us abundant life. Can we not trust him? Can we not take him at his word? Only if we get rid of the old junk can we change the way we think. Can we change the way we live? The New Living Translation says, "Instead, there must be spiritual renewal of our thoughts and attitudes." What does that remind you of? Probably a verse that you've heard from me more than you've probably heard in your entire life up until now, Romans 12:2, my favorite verse, which says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way we think. Because until we change the way we think, we can't change the way we live. It's no longer about us. It can't be. The biggest problem we have in life is when we make ourselves number one, which is what the world tells us to do, right? It's all about you. It's all about your happiness. If you're not happy, change something and make sure that you're happy. But if we're number one, that's the old way of living. But if we make God number one, if we make other people number one, then we will live as God intended for us to live. One time a man called the church and asked if he could speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, "Who?" And the man replied, "I want to speak with the head hog at the trough." Sure that she had heard him correctly, the secretary said, "Sir, if you mean our pastor, you'll have to treat him with more respect and ask for the reverend or the pastor. But certainly, you cannot refer to him as the head hog at the trough." The man responded, "I see. Well, I have $10,000 I was about to donate to the building fund." And then the secretary said, "Oh, hold on the line. I think the big pig just walked in." We take ourselves way too seriously sometimes. When we feel disrespected, it's the end of the world. We get our feelings hurt. We respond to that person differently. We respond to our surroundings differently. And that's because we're thinking of ourselves in the old way. We're thinking of ourselves in the old way. We're putting ourselves first and our feelings first. But the old way of feeling, or the old way of thinking, prohibits us from doing what God wants us to do. It prohibits us from turning the other cheek, which is what he calls us to. It's not about how my feelings get hurt. It's about how I respond so that that person can see genuine truth, genuine mercy. The mercy and the grace that is only offered by God, but we can give glimmers of that in our life. It's all about how we respond. But sometimes it isn't the old way of living or even thinking that trips us up. It's the "we've never done it that way" attitude that gets in the way. Sometimes allowing ourselves to be renewed in our thinking, to be transformed, to be renovated, means that we don't always do the things the way we used to. And that's okay. If we're going to let God do a work in us, we have to change our thinking with the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to realize that sometimes we're the ones that have to change. We shouldn't expect the world around us to change because they're not going to. I'm reading a book right now that talks about this phenomenon called an embodied apologetic. You guys know what apologetics is? It's the defense of our faith. It's the proof that we have for what we believe. And we're shifting from, I'm going to use some psychological, philosophical wording right now, from a modernist to a postmodern world. In the modern world, people were all about logic and reason. And so a verbal argument, we could point to scriptures, we could point to extra-biblical proof, and people would say, you know what, I agree with that, you're right. You showed me the error of my thinking. It doesn't work anymore. With the postmodern, they doubt everything, they're skeptics. You have to earn a hearing with them. And the way you earn it is by exemplifying the gospel in deed. You have to live it. And the only way that we can live it is by allowing God to transform us from the inside out. We've been talking about bridge building. The most important bridge that can happen in our lives so that we can be bridge builders is from here to here. We know it, but we have to allow the Holy Spirit to move it down here and to transform us at the heart so that we can use our hands and feet to represent Jesus in this world. We have to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Get rid of the old junk. Get rid of the old way of thinking and put on your new clothes. Who doesn't like getting new clothes? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? "Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." That's what it's about. Letting him come in, strip us down to the beams, and then rebuilding us piece by piece, until we look like him. This is how we're supposed to live. This is the Christian life. This is discipleship. We say that we follow Jesus Christ, that he's our Lord and Savior. This is the proof that he's transforming us. They will know we are Christians by our what? Our sound arguments and reason? By our t-shirts? By our church attendance? By our love. By our love. A minister was conscious of the lengthy sermon he delivered last Sunday. So in an attempt to console his congregation, he assured them that this week would be different. He said, "To compensate for last week's sermon with 20 points, this week's sermon will be pointless." I hope that this wasn't pointless for you. There's a lot more that we're going to glean from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the next couple of weeks. But I want to make sure that we have that firm foundation and understanding. We can't go anywhere. We can't begin to even talk about building bridges to our community until God starts working in our hearts. Because if we're doing it in our own power, we're going to run out of energy. We're going to fall flat on our faces. The transformation has to start here with us. And then it bridges out. But this is the most important step. We have to say, God, you know what? Maybe I have been in a rut for a little while. Maybe it is time that I allow my mind to be renewed. To allow your transforming power back into my life. Maybe I need another renovation. Maybe I never had one. This is where it starts. This is where the work of God begins from Bangor Liberty Friends Church and spreads out. This is how we become the people that God wants us to be and the church that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for challenging words. Lord, for the reminder that the old way of living really is garbage. And even those things that we think are important, that we think, man, I don't know, life is going to be pretty tough without that thing or this thing, that those are still just junk. And then if we truly let you have them, if we truly let you clean them out of our lives, that you're going to replace them with something so much better that we're not even going to remember how great we thought that once was. Lord, you've been doing an awesome work in our church, Lord, and I pray that that continues. I pray that each person here would invite you into their lives, to strip them down to the beams, to build them back up, brand new, with a new spirit, with a new mind, with a new energy for ministry in your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you in advance for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.